This is Radio EcoShock with Alex Smith.
This is Radio EcoShock. I'm Alex Smith. We're at the Mother Earth News Fair with Brad Burkhartsmeyer. We're going to talk about solar. I think you should be interested in solar. We've got climate change. We've got energy shortages. And it's just a clean way to get your electricity. I guess you know all that, but maybe we'll talk about some things you don't know. That's the hope. Brad, welcome to Radio EcoShock.
Good morning. It's great to be here with you.
So you are what? You're an installer and designer of solar systems in Washington State, is that right?
That's correct. We have an installation company here where we design and install solar systems for people on their homes and businesses.
Washington State, it's not known as the Sunshine State. I've talked to people in Arizona who don't have solar, and yet there's people in Washington State who are getting it. How's it working out?
Well, it seems to be working fine. We do not get as much sun as they do in Arizona, but we get at least 3/4 of what they get, and so we can do quite well with solar here. Washington State actually has more sun than Germany, which has more solar installed than any country in the world, and so we do better than them.
What kind of people are buying solar panels? Do you have to be a wealthy person to do this, or who's buying them?
Well, most people need some money up front to purchase solar panels here in Washington State. Our incentive will get, they'll get their money back over time, but they have to pay for it up front. So most people need somewhere in the range, the low side, they may need $6,000 or $7,000, but most of our customers spend between $20,000 and $30,000 U.S.
That's a lot of money, but they're getting their own power plant. Is that what it boils down to?
They get their own power plant. They're essentially buying their electricity production, 25 years of it, ahead of time. They're paying for it up front. And then after that, there's no more inputs. The fuel is free, falling out of the sky from the sun. And so for 25 years, they'll get electricity.
It's like buying any kind of investment. You might buy a treasury bond, a 30-year treasury bond, and get a certain amount of interest every year, and that's what, this case, you're buying your electricity ahead of time.
Yeah, exactly like that. In our little calculations on returns, it's anywhere between 5% to 12% return on your money.
That's
based
a good
on
deal.
Our incentive program. It's an awesome deal. So a lot of people are doing it.
And do these panels really last that long?
Well, there's some that they were first invented in 1954 back in at Bell Labs in New Jersey, and some of those that were invented in the 1950s are still operating today. So we know they last a long time. They come with a 25-year warranty, but we don't know how long they'll last. My guess is most of them will last longer than that.
Right. Is this the silicon-based type of panel we're talking about?
Yeah, I'm talking mainly about crystalline, both mono and polycrystalline silicon modules, which
right,
is like 90% of the world market.
Okay, because there are cheaper sort of plasticky looking ones that you can get at, the tire store or the discount store. And I've had some experience talking with people who bought those. They don't last very well. Eventually, they put out less and less as far as wattage goes.
Yeah, there's some technologies called amorphous silicon, which is a technology that works well. It's less expensive to make, but they don't last as long, and they don't have as much power output. They're not as efficient as converting the sunlight into electricity as crystalline silicon.
Well, talking about output, I had a 50-watt solar panel down in Baja, California, in Mexico, at the tropics. I got my full 50 watts. You know, that's 12 volts, 4 amps. I bring it up to the Canadian border, 49th parallel. I'm only getting 2 amps, and so I'm only really getting 24 or 25 watts out of it. Is that just the way it is, or could I have done something better?
It's probably not anything you're doing. It's just the amount of sun you get. They output based on the brightness of the sunlight that hits them. So the brighter and more direct the sunlight, the more output they're going to get. When they come out of the factory, that 50-watt panel has been tested at certain conditions to get that 50-watt label. And one of those conditions is they have 1,000 watts worth of light shining on it to test it. And so that would be similar to the kind of light that you would get in Baja, California, that brightness. And we just generally don't get that brightness further north, so they don't put out as much.
Well, I could have done better, I know, if I had angled it better according to the time of year, and that's one of the considerations with solar. Can you talk to us about that?
Yeah, it depends on where you are on the planet. The further north from the equator that you are, the lower the angle of the sun will be in the winter. And so what you have to do to get the most out of your solar panel is to have it tilted more towards the vertical. If the sun is lower in the sky, the panel has to be more vertical. So we live right here at 47 degrees north of the equator. So in the winter, we would want to almost tilt our panel to be 60 degrees off of the horizontal. And then the summer, the sun is up much higher. And so you could tilt the panels back, lay them flatter during the summertime to get more output.
Now, how do you do that if it's fixed on a roof?
Well, in most cases, you don't. You just install it at the same angle as the roof because you don't want to build all kinds of contraptions on top of people's roofs. It makes the neighborhood more ugly. So essentially, you install them on the same plane of the roof. And during the summer, because most of the roofs are flatter, you know, they're 20 degrees, 25 degrees. And so in the summer, you get a lot of output. In the winter, you don't get as much output. They do make devices that tilt and you can rotate. You can either adjust them manually by season if you want, or you can put them on a pole where they're easy to adjust and tilt for summer and winter angles.
Right. I know an off-grid friend who's in Ontario, Canada, and he has his on a kind of pole. And I think he told me he has an automatic tracking system that adjusts them. He doesn't have to go out and do them himself. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, you can have, especially on top of a pole, it's pretty easy to do. And they have, there's a lot of companies that make what they call a tracker, which follows the sun as it comes up over the eastern horizon and tracks the sun throughout the day. So the panels are facing directly wherever the sun is throughout the day. So as the sun is going down in the evening to the west, the panels are then tilted towards the west to face the sun. And then at night, they rotate back to the east and wait for the sun to come back up. So all day long, they're following the sun.
Do you gain enough juice by doing that to, it must take a little bit of electricity just to move the panel around.
It does. It takes a little bit, but nah, you get much more output than that energy needed to move them. And so you can actually increase your output of your solar panels by 20 or 30% by tracking the sun during the day.
One of the other concerns that I might have about having it down at ground level on a pole is, and this may sound stupid, but what if somebody comes along and takes my solar panels? They're worth a lot of money. What about security in solar?
Yeah, this has become a concern over the last few years. I've had several places where people have reported that panels have been stolen. So what we do, especially with pole-mounted systems, we either make them up high enough so people can't access them, can't reach them unless they get a ladder and so forth, which most people that are going to steal are kind of opportunistic and they're not going to carry a ladder around. And the other thing we do is we use tamper-proof hardware. We use hardware that you can't easily unfasten without specialty tools. So that's one way we prevent. And then most of the time when you install systems on top of people's homes on their roofs, we don't have that problem at all because very few people, criminals, climb up on roofs to steal solar panels.
Although that day may come.
Well, it actually has happened a couple of times I've heard about, but no. Generally it's not a concern if you're living in the house and you would see them or crawling up there. But yeah, they're worth money, so we want to take care of them.
People will steal your car, too. I mean, we have a lot of things that are worth money, but we don't stop doing it just because of that.
Exactly.
Well, if you could tell me, Brad Burkhartsmeyer, and you're with Sun's Eye Solar, that's the name of your company, I believe. What are the top couple of questions that people ask you? They're thinking about solar, they've heard about it. What are they coming up and what do they want to know?
Well, that's an interesting question because it's one that we discuss and us solar people discuss that. What's the question you always get asked? And I'll tell you the number one question I get asked here in the U.S. and then I can talk about what happens outside the U.S. But here in the U.S., people walk up and they say, how much solar do I need for a 2,000 square foot house? And for me, as someone that installs solar to make electricity, it's a really hard question to answer because I don't know how many people live in the house. I don't know if it's all electric or gas. And so when we want to produce electricity, we really want to find out how much electricity do they consume so that we can match the system to what they need. And so the question is hard to answer. Because we don't know how many people live or what's in the house. And so you can't directly answer it. So you have to keep saying, well, it depends. And of course, then then they think you're trying to avoid answering their question. It's just, we'd love to answer the question. It's a hard one to answer. So what we generally say is, well, if you're a typical American, you use, in a typical household, you use about 12,000 kilowatt hours a year of electricity. And then from there, we can size their solar system based on where they live and how much sun they get.
Okay, so let's say I can afford 3,000 watts of solar power up on my roof, and I'm a pretty thrifty electric user, you know. I'm not going to have a lot of heavy uses on it, but I probably want to have a freezer. Am I going to be able to run a freezer?
Oh, you can run a freezer on that. So 3,000 watts of solar panels here, where we are sitting right today in Western Washington State, that will produce 3,000 kilowatt hours every year of its lifetime. So that would cover a quarter of the average household's needs. It'll certainly run a freezer. It'll certainly run other things in your home. The way most systems are connected now, we don't actually connect them to a specific appliance. We tie them into the electrical system of the home. We just feed that electricity into their circuit breaker box. And whatever devices they have on currently, the solar electricity will go to run those devices. And if there's extra being produced by the solar, it actually goes then backwards through their meter, spins their meter backwards, and goes out onto the utility grid.
Do they get paid for that in Washington State?
In Washington, yes. We have two ways that they get paid. One is what I just spoke about, running your solar electricity backwards through your meter. And here in Washington, we get paid on a one-to-one ratio. In other words, whatever we're buying the electricity, the cost of that from the utility, we can sell that to them for that same price. So it's just a one-to-one going through our normal utility meter. Then also here in this state, we put a second meter on when we install a solar system that just measures whatever comes out of the solar system before it even goes into the building to be used. So we have a second utility grade meter there. And so that 3,000 watt system that you were talking about would produce about 3,000 kilowatt hours through that second meter every year. And so when they come and read that meter, then the state, through the state's production incentive program, actually mails you a check for what you've produced.
Sweet.
And so you get money every year. It's great. You get a check in the mail for what you produced.
So how is solar doing in Washington State? Or, you know, I guess, is business doing well, or how are you doing?
Business is doing well, and with that state incentive where people get paid for making solar electricity, all the money that people spend on their solar system can be recouped through those programs in about 7 years. So they're buying 25 years of electricity. It's paid off in 7 years. And so they have essentially 18 years of free electricity.
Well, you know, I know there's going to be people who complain, well, why should we, the ratepayer, be paying all these solar people? But look at the money being saved on transmission lines, on building some nuclear power plant, which they never look after the waste. I mean, we could talk for hours about why solar makes sense. Is that discussion going on?
It is a discussion, and sometimes people say, well, we shouldn't be subsidizing the solar folks. And the truth is, all of our energy sources in the U.S. are subsidized to some degree. Oil receives a lot of subsidies, coal, all of the other, you know, folks receive subsidies. And when you're starting with a new technology that's green and doesn't cause pollution like the other ones do, I think in order to get that up to being a commercially viable industry, it needed some support for some years. And now there's places where the solar price has dropped below normal utility grid power. So it's actually cheaper to go solar just based on economies of scale. So the subsidy program has really helped over the long run. And at some point we won't need it. We will be, you know, just, we can make it for cheap enough that people will just see it as a very viable thing in and of itself. Most people choose to go to put solar on their homes, one, to lower their bills, but two, also they have long-term environmental interests. They realize they can make their own power and not cause any pollution in doing it. And that's, people really like to do that. They like to be part of something. They can take some action. themselves and help solve some of the problems in the world, just right on their own house.
Yeah, why feel guilty turning on a light bulb? You know, you don't have to if you're getting it from the sun.
Yeah, it's great. It's no fuel and there's no pollution. And it's not going to solve all the problems in the world or anything. You know, some people think solar can do everything, but it can do some things. It can make electricity and make it for a long time. And it's a very mature technology that we understand and know how it works.
Well, Brad Burkhartsmeyer, you note that you're a fully licensed solar installer. What kind of program and training is there to be putting these things on people's houses?
Well, there's a couple of levels that you'd want to have. If you're hiring someone to do an installation for you, you'd want to look at some of their credentials. Here in Washington State, you have to be a licensed electrician to install solar. Unless you're the homeowner, you can install it on your own house, but you can't go and install it on someone else's house unless you're a licensed electrician. Because you are making electricity and it is dangerous. It's just as dangerous as any other electricity that's being made. So that's the first thing. And then another level is you can take courses specifically on solar design, solar installation, and solar safety through different organizations around the country. One of those that I've taken classes from is Solar Energy International. I also teach for them. And then once you've taken so many classes, done so many installations, you can sit for an exam from the North American Board of Certified Energy Practitioners, which is a big long way, but it's sort of like a solar electrician's exam. So you've passed the test and you know about systems and safety. So some of those credentials are, in some states, you have to have that certification in order to get any of the incentives. In our state, you just have to be a licensed electrician to install it.
Okay. Well, as we wrap up, how do people get in touch with you or your company? How do they find out more?
Well, the best way, if you want to work on solar projects here in Western Washington, just give us a call, Sun's Eye Solar, or you can look at our website at sunseyesolar.com.
Thank you very much for joining us on Radio EcoShock.
Thanks. It was a pleasure to be here.
Check out the Radio EcoShock website. We're at ecoshock.org.